Have you heard of or maybe even experienced the idea of a company telling their employees, we have unlimited vacation? How much vacation do I get? How much do you want? Do whatever you want. Come to work if you feel like it. Take vacation if you don't. We trust our employees. This all works out. Is that a real thing or is it a stunt? So there's that. Tony got up and started to walk away and then thought better of it. Because we actually don't have that policy, Tony, just in case we're not aware of how it works around here. And then there's another story. Employment lawyers say there could be a new wave of lawsuits from workers. I don't think they intend to bring me back. People were laid off after COVID. So joining me to talk about these things from Semfiro Tamarkin, employment lawyer Luke Cerda. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for doing it. So let's talk about this. How does this unlimited vacation thing work in reality?
Well, that's a good question. As you mentioned, the issue could be that people don't end up taking all their vacation or take less than they would otherwise because they're afraid of taking too much. That said, the law in Ontario is pretty straightforward in the sense that there are certain minimum vacation entitlements that every employee gets. So if you have been employed for 5 years or less, you're minimally entitled to 2 weeks of vacation. And if it's 5 years or more, then you get a minimum of 3 weeks. So although the employer might say, well, it's unlimited vacation, but only take a week, really, you're still entitled to what the law says you're entitled to.
All right, but it would be a maximum of 3 weeks. Anything? Are you saying that anything, if there are Ontarians who get 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever they get, it's because that the company has decided to do that or a union has worked something out? The law only requires three.
Exactly. So if the company or the parties come to an arrangement for more vacation, that's still enforceable, of course. But in the absence of that, the minimum that you're entitled to is 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah.
All right. But on this thing of unlimited vacation, is that a little bit of the company is sort of saying, hey, look at us. We trust our people and we allow unlimited vacation. But in reality, it wouldn't be very smart around here to be taking 6 or 7 weeks of vacation.
Yeah, so it can be a challenge, of course, of knowing where the line is. How unlimited is this unlimited vacation? And the risk is that you might be disciplined or even terminated if you take too much vacation. In that case, though, I think the employer would be in a bit of trouble and they wouldn't be able to terminate you without for cause, saying that you took too much vacation. You would still be owed your severance package. Because the reality is, I mean, an employer can terminate you for almost any reason. Really any reason. So if you take too much vacation, they terminate you, they can do that, but they have to then provide you with your severance package.
Well, I suppose, though, that they might be able to show whoever the judge or adjudicator is that this person was taking full advantage of the thing and a hardship on the company because actually taking time and work just wasn't getting done.
Well, they would have a challenge, I think, because they have this policy that says you can do exactly what you did, but we terminated you for saying it, for doing it. So I think they would have a challenge. They'd either have to, at some point, change the policy back to a certain set amount of days of vacation, or basically realize, yeah, I mean, we did this to ourselves. Now we want to let this person go, but we don't owe them severance. I think it would be pretty clear cut that that person would be owed severance.
All right. And now the other story that's in the news here, and I'm talking to Luke Cerda, employment lawyer at Semfiro Tamarkin. And the headline here is, I don't think they intend on bringing me back. Employment lawyers say there can be a new wave of lawsuits from workers after COVID temporary layoffs end. So is this a case of people who were told that it wasn't, look, our business is down and we're laying people off and we don't know if we're going to bring you back or not. If people were given an expectation of being brought back, then they should be able at some point to expect to have a job. Is that correct?
Right, exactly. So just a bit by way of context. So what happened is when the COVID hit in March 2020, shortly thereafter, the government changed the rules about how long a temporary layoff could be. So traditionally, a temporary layoff is for a maximum of 13 weeks, or if benefits are continued, it can go up to 35 weeks. However, because of the pandemic, the government said, well, listen, if you're on layoff because of COVID, we're going to call that a leave of absence, such as a maternity leave, disability leave. We're going to call it an infectious disease emergency leave. So that means the employer doesn't have to call you back after 13 or 35 weeks. In fact, they extended the leave, the recall date, all the way up until July 30th of this year. So people were could potentially be without work and really without recourse in terms of getting their severance until 2 years and 4 months after this whole thing started. So now that's over, and people are still not being called back. So the potential now is that employees can say, well, you know, this is it. I've waited on the sidelines long enough. You've terminated me, and you owe me my severance now. And so basically these lawsuits that might be forthcoming are employees saying, well, listen, I never got called back. I have a right to a severance when I'm terminated, and that's what I'm pursuing here.
Well, when the pandemic was first underway and we were all confused about how this was going to work out, I used to have Howard Levin on the show every single day. And one of the things he used to tell people was, if they are laying you off, they say, look, we don't have business. And people were calling in saying, I know it's reasonable. I mean, my company is in trouble right now because of the pandemic. Then the advice was, get in writing the day you're coming back.
Yeah, so I mean that's good advice for sure. What happens though is a lot of employers would just—I've seen it happen. They tell you you're being called back in June 2020, and then June comes and they send you another letter, and then a third, and then a fourth, and you know you have the issue that you know when am I actually going to be called back? This keeps changing. So I mean. A wave of lawsuits has already happened for people that weren't really going to put up with this long layoff. But for those who didn't consult a lawyer at that time, they can now basically say with a straight face, a very straight face, really, I mean, there's no job for me here. So where's my severance?
Okay, I think there's a balance here because companies really did need to make moves and try and protect themselves. The companies are having a hard time coming back, and so everybody has to be understanding in that regard. But at the same time, do you think there's a possibility that some people aren't being called back because they've just decided they're better off without you anyway?
Well, that's what I think happens. So there's a few things here. So basically, a lot of people were laid off at once, and then the order in which you're called back seems a little bit arbitrary. It's not by seniority. It's not by, you know, competence. No one really knows who's being called back first and why. And then there's just people that aren't called back. You know, new hires have come in, taken over their jobs and stuff like that. So there's just no job to come back to. And I understand the fairness point of view, but the reality is, I mean, if you've been laid off for, you know, 2 years and 4 months, you haven't been, you know, living the high life either, right? I mean, it's been a lot of penny pinching. EI has probably run out. You know, it's a tough situation to be in, and that's precisely why severance is there, to help cushion the blow of losing your job. So this severance will allow people to get back on their feet and have a little bit of a financial cushion while they try to find a new job. But being kept in limbo for years and years is not a solution.
All right. Well, numbers of people, of course, have gone out and found a new job. Now, if during that process that we've gone through with the pandemic, someone went out and got a new job, then they're owed no severance at all. They just say, well, look, I've moved on.
It's a little bit more complicated than that. So essentially what happens is if you're laid off, you're always entitled to find another job to tide you over. However, if you get called back to work from your original job, then you have a decision to make. Do I want to go back to my old job or do I want to keep the new job? If you keep the new job, then you've resigned and you're not entitled to severance. But that decision doesn't really get triggered until you get called back. So if you've never been called back, you've never lost your right to severance when your layoff eventually becomes a termination.
All right. And by the way, just anecdotally here, you and I started our conversation talking about companies with unlimited vacation policies. I've had a number of people write in and say that their company has that policy and it's fantastic. It works out great. Although I think every single one that wrote in was an employee, not an employer. But, you know, if it's working out for people on both ends of the equation, I think that's fantastic. But thanks for the conversation. I've been speaking here to an employment lawyer from Samfiro Tamarkin, Luke Serta. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right.